Good morning. Hope you're all doing well. If you could turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. I'll be reading from verse 22 to 25. Okay. James chapter 1, verse 20 to 25. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Amen. So, actually, I've been reading James. I read James about a month ago, and you know, if you read the whole book of James, you'll realize that this guy is a pretty simple guy in the way that he writes. I think he's very, his points are very simple. It's very straight. It's very, I guess, point and shoot kind of thing. And you know, in that way, it's kind of good because it helps people like me to really understand what he's trying to say. And you know, if you read through the book of James, a lot of what he's trying to do is not necessarily try to teach you, you know, how to become a Christian, but he actually tries to teach you, you know, as you are a Christian, how you should be living your life. And in this particular passage, as he's addressing the application of the word, basically there are three simple points that he tries to get across, right? The first, which is verse 22, he simply says this. He says, don't merely hear or listen to the word, but do what it says, right? And the word that he uses here, he actually, what he says is that, but prove yourselves to be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Some of the other versions of the Bible may actually say the word deceive. And so what he's trying to say here is that, you know, people who, you know, simply just read the word or listen to the word are deceived into thinking that that is good enough, right? That, you know, it's enough just to come in, you know, on a Sunday morning or a Sunday service to hear the word of God and to think that I've done my duties, right? I mean, and then, you know, obviously we know that that's not the case. And, you know, we see a lot of them and, you know, we even have the phrase like, you know, a Sunday Christian, right? You come in, you know, a lot of people come in on a Sunday, they hear the word and they think they've done their, I guess, their quota for that week. And they go off and then they think they're okay. But, you know, obviously what James is saying here is that it's not enough and that there's got to be, you know, there's got to be action that comes out of what you read and what you hear. The second point that he says is to do with this analogy that he uses about a guy who looks in a mirror. And basically what he's saying is that, you know, a person who hears a word and listens to the word and doesn't do anything about it is like a guy who's looking at himself. He's checking himself out in the mirror, right? He's looking at himself. He looks at, he sees what he sees. Then he goes, you know, he turns around, he walks away, and immediately he's forgotten what he saw and what he basically looks like. And so, you know, the second point that James says here is that if you don't do what the word says, if you don't do what you hear, you're going to forget it, basically, right? If you don't put it into action, you're not going to remember any of these things. And just on a side note, you'll notice that also in the book of James, he likes to use a lot of analogies to kind of get his point across. I think later on in the chapters, he talks about the tongue being like fire, and then he talks about the tongue being like a rudder of a big, great ship. It's small, yet, you know, it has the power to kind of direct the ship in any direction. So anyways, that's a side thing. And then the last point that James says is if you do what the word says, then you're going to be blessed in all your ways. And I think that's just a pretty self-explanatory statement in itself. It's very simple. And so, you know, James is very good at putting things very clear-cut. You know, he's just like boom, boom, boom. And then so I just wanted to share with you guys what my interpretation of this means. And, you know, I'm kind of going to try to elaborate on what he says. So here's what I think, right? If we merely hear what the word of God is, and if we just merely hear the word of God and we're not doers of what we hear or what we read, essentially that's not really having a relationship with God, you know? I mean, it's like I'm here, I'm reading the word, I'm listening to, say, Pastor Sam preaching and stuff, but it's like God is over there, and there really isn't this connection that is happening between us, right? Like, I am hearing about him, I am knowing of him, but I don't really know him. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really an experience or a relationship that I have that kind of helps me to understand who he is. Like, for example, if I want to get to know Hannah, right? I'm not going to be like, okay, Hannah, I want to get to know you better, so I'm going to go talk to Kenny. I'm going to be like, Kenny, who is Hannah? Is she like this? And he's going to tell me, oh, Hannah's, you know, she has a penis, she sings well. And I'm going to be like, oh, okay. So that means knowing what Hannah's like, I must have a relationship with Hannah now. I'm going to be friends. And if someone went to Hannah, they're like, yeah, I heard you're friends with Tom. She might be like, I don't think so. I don't really know. You know, he's never talked to me or anything, right? But so, you know what I mean? It's important that if you want to have a relationship with someone, we've got to be spending time with someone. And that's who God really is, right? He's always around us. He's always moving through us. And I feel like what God wants is that he doesn't want us just to read what we have in the Bible. He doesn't want us just to hear, you know, from other people, but he really wants to show us who he is. You know, he wants to be like, you know, you've read it, you've heard it, now I want you to see it for yourself, kind of thing. And, you know, that takes us to step out and to do it, basically, right? It's not going to happen. He's not going to be able to show us if we are not willing to step out there and to be in that position to really be in a partnership with him, to be in a relationship and whatnot. So that's why, you know, it's not really a relationship if you're just going to be coming in, reading it, and listening and not doing anything about it. And just coming off of that as well, I think another thing of what, you know, what it's like if you're just hearing the word and listening to the word and not doing anything, it's like, you know, your understanding of who God is becomes simply based upon what you've read and your own intellect. You know what I mean? It's, you know, yes, the Bible is very clear on who God is. It does give you the firm guidelines. It says, you know, he is almighty and everything. And so you do have this understanding of who God is. But in areas, but still, you know, there is that element of your own intellect, your own reasoning, your own rationale of trying to understand who he is. Like, if there's an area where you're not really particularly sure of who God might be, what you try to do is you try to fill those gaps with your own rationale. You know what I mean? Like you say, because he is good, then he must be in this certain way, right? And so what naturally happens is that if we start thinking in this way, if we don't really experience God for who he truly is, and we just try to have this intellectual concept of who God is, what happens is that when God starts moving in a way that we are not really sure of, if God starts moving in a way that is not really aligned to how we think he might be moving, then that's when doubt starts to creep in. And that's when we start to think, that can't be God, because the God I know is, you know, he just does this and this and this, and if he's moving that way, that can't be God, and that's something wrong that's going on, right? And you start doubting. Like, even in the area of, like, say, healing and stuff, right? Some of us have this concept idea of what healing might look like. And so when someone actually gets healed, you sort of have this doubt, because you're like, oh, God healed this person in this way, yet that's not how I thought God would heal someone. And so you kind of have this doubt. But the thing is, God works in ways so much greater than we could ever imagine, right, Darren? And it's not fair for us to try to limit God who he is by trying to put our own thoughts into defining him. And that's what really happens, I think, if we just try to purely base our understanding on God by looking at the Bible and by hearing God's word and not putting any of it into action, right? God is really an experiential God, right? He wants to come into our lives, and I feel like his thing is he's always ready to do something for us. He's ready to be like, he always has that open invite for us, and it's just taking, and it just requires us to step out to do that for him, okay? So those are the two things that I feel like happens if we don't do anything about what we take in. But, you know, the third point, obviously, if we do become doers, right? So this is the thing. If we are people who listen to the word, who hear the word of God, who read the word of God, and we are people who are doers, I feel like, you know, it says in the Bible, James says that you're going to leave a blessed, you know, you're going to be blessed in all your ways and stuff. And what I interpret that to mean is that your life will be so fulfilled because you get to experience God in such a manner that really shows who he is. I was kind of battling with how I was supposed to say this. I'm still getting my words mixed up. But, you know, it's like God, as you kind of do, you know, as you put practical application to what you read or what you heard, and you partner with God, what happens is naturally, you know, you develop that relationship with him, you get to know him on a more personal level, you get to understand the way that he thinks, the way that he does things and stuff. You know, you're not only does your relationship grow, but your faith increases too, right, naturally. You start to believe that he is capable of more than what you might even expect. And so, you know, it's important that, you know, we are people who do, that we are effectual doers of the Bible. And, you know, I believe, you know, I truly believe that, you know, what the Bible says and what God does in the Bible, you know, that's not the only thing that God can do, right? I mean, I know that a lot of us, you know, yeah, we study the Bible. We say, yeah, God does this and this. You know, a lot of people, if, you know, some people like to say, you know, if they see God moving in a different way, they say, well, show me in the Bible that God did this. But, you know, the truth of the matter is God is not limited to what just the Bible says, right? He does give us basic guidelines of who he is and the way that he interacts. And obviously, when we see God moving, we kind of do tie it back to the word. But that doesn't mean if it's not in here, that's not what he can't do, you know? And so that's why I think the only way that people are going to be able to break out of that mold is to really step out there and to really partner with God and to be like, okay, God, you know, I have this. I heard that you're like this. Now, will you show me how you are like this? And I think as that happens and as you develop that relationship of him, you know, it's just going to be like every day you're going to be blown away as you understand more and more of who he is. And, you know, like, I was thinking about this a lot, and I'll kind of close with this, but, you know, it's like, this is personal, right? So I'm actually really excited. Like, I love to, one of the things that I really desire is to kind of know how God thinks. So for me personally, that's one of the things I really want to understand. Like, I want to be able to know how he thinks of certain situations, like what his interpretations, what his, like, thinking process is. And so, you know, as I'm going on my day and as I get to learn more about him, I am blown away at times to think that, oh, this is how God thinks. But, you know, I kind of can't wait for the day where, you know, we all go to heaven, you know, hopefully a long time from now. And, you know, and it's like you get there and then you meet God and he's not going to be like a God that you're sort of trying to get to understand, right? He's going to be who he is in all its glory, all its understandings, all its way. And you're going to have a complete picture of who God is. And I feel like when that day comes, it's going to be like this, you know, it's going to be like an explosion in your mind. It's going to be like someone came along and just like completely ninja'd your brain. You're going to be like, oh, I had no idea that this was how you thought. I had no idea that this was the way you think. And I think like we're going to be completely blown away. And, you know, that's, I know it sounds kind of, but for me, it's really like, it's like an amazing thing for me to kind of understand. And so that kind of drives me personally to try to get to know him now, right? So that hopefully when I'm there, it's not going to be too much of a surprise. It will be, but I'm just saying. But anyway, so bringing it back home. So for us, at church, you know, obviously the point of the message is, you know, don't be someone who just comes in, hears a word, reads a word, and leaves. And, you know, like a guy who looks himself in the mirror and forgets everything that he's just saw, right? Don't be, you know, it's not good enough that we just come in Sunday. It's not good enough that we come in, go to house church. It's not good enough that we come to EMP if there is no application of what we've read or what we heard that God is saying to us, right? It's really pointless because, you know, your faith, your relationship grows as you work with God, as you partner with God to do the things in according to his will and stuff. And, you know, it's not easy, I understand that and stuff, but, you know, I just want to really encourage you guys this morning. I really want to just really challenge you at the same time that keep your eyes open. I mean, like, God is everywhere, you know what I mean? Like, God's at the workplace, God's in situations where you think he can't be in, Right? And it's up to us to really be able to recognize this and to be able to take what we've learned and to put it into practice, basically. Okay. Right? So, and then here's my one-liner to end it, right? We have to be a people who not only knows the will of God, but a people who also does the will of God. Yeah, so. All right, so let's close our eyes. And as Hannah comes up to lead us in worship, there, you know, let's just spend a couple of moments just really doing a heart check. You know, I think, like, the way, you know, James is very blunt about how he puts a lot of the things in the passages and stuff. And I just want us to do the same thing, because sometimes, you know, it's good just to be straight up. And so, you know, if you're in a position, you know, if you're, you know, going about where you realize that maybe you aren't really putting a lot of what you've heard or what you've read into practice, then let's just, you know, take this time to ask God, you know, to really help us. You know, it's not... God doesn't expect us to do all these things on our own, right? You know, he tells us, yes, join me. But if you can't, he's going to be, you know, he's just like, he's more than willing to help you to get to that position. And so if you're in that place where it's hard for you to action, then just ask God to come and help you. And, you know, even before that, if you're having a difficult time even reading the word or even understanding the word as well, you know, that's fine too. Just ask God to come and help you in that area as well, right? Help him to, you know, if time is an issue, help him to open up your schedule so you can read it more. Help him up for you not to be tired so you can concentrate. I mean, whatever way it is, right? God can help you. And so, you know, let's just spend this time just to really, you know, go out to him.
These hands are yours, teach them to serve as you please, and I'll reach out, desperate to see all the greatness of God. May my soul rest assured in you. And I'll never be the same. Never be the same, 'cause I know that you're alive. You came to fix my broken life, and I see to glorify your holy name, Jesus Christ. Changed it all. You've changed it all when you broke down the wall. When I spoke and confessed, in you I am blessed. Now I walk in the light, in victorious sight of you. These hands are yours. These hands are. Teach them to serve as you please, and I'll reach out, desperate to see. and I'll never be the same. No, I'll never be the same, 'cause I know that you're alive. You came to fix my broken life, and I sing to glorify your holy name, Jesus Christ. Fire, fall down, fire, fall down on us, we pray. As we seek the fire, fall down, fire, fall down on us, we pray.
Turn our focus to our church. Lately I think, you know, talking to people as well, I think, you know, something seems to be stirring in the church lately. I think a lot of people have been sensing this, and personally I don't know what exactly, you know, it is, but what I do recognize is that it seems that the entire church is on board. Like, people are coming together, that they are moving in a direction. And, you know, it could be even the first time in 7 years that it's been this, you know, togetherness that, you know, that I feel like that I'm seeing here. And so, you know, during this time, let's just really pray for our church. And, you know, as God is moving, as He's preparing us for something really amazing, I mean, you know, let's pray continuously that people will continually become on board, that people are continually going to be pressing in prayer and seeking out God and His will. And that, you know, more than that, as I said, right, that we won't just know what the word, you know, will of God is, but that as a church, we're going to be a church that does the will of God as well. All right? So let's just pray that. Let's also lift up our church building. Let's continually pray that God continually prepares this place for us. That, you know, we also pray for those people who are out there, you know, doing all the search and stuff, that they won't be disheartened by, you know, losing opportunities or closed doors, but that they continually would seek after God and know that God has already a place in store for us, and it's just about the right time. And this is, let's just press in and let's continually pray. And let's just also lift up our, you know, people at our church too. Let's just pray continually for the sick. As Pastor Sam shared on Sunday, let's lift up, continually remember Yuli's father, who's, you know, who's in the hospital, who's, you know, dealing with his kidneys failures and stuff. Let's pray for also for James's sister, who's battling cancer. Let's pray for their family, that, you know, that they are continually strong during this time. And let's also lift up anyone whom you may know of as well, who might be sick, who might be going through a difficult time, you know, family members, work friends. Let's just lift them up. Whoever God prompts you in your heart, let's just lift them up to Him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for gathering us here and, you know, giving us this opportunity to be able to be in your presence, to be able to hear your word, to read your word. And, you know, hopefully that when we go out of these doors, that it's not going to be something we forget, but it's something that we're going to be, you know, ready to put into practice, Lord Jesus. So give us the ability, Lord God, to see where you're moving. Help us to recognize when it's you. And help us, Lord God, during those times to really stir in us, in our hearts, Lord God, Father, that step of faith, to stir up that step of faith that we can really, truly, you know, step out and to really partner in what you're doing. I pray, Lord God, Father, as we lifted up the prayers to you regarding our church, the people at our church and everything, we pray, Holy Spirit, just really come and just, you know, really let your will be done, Lord God, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, just cover every one of those people and, I pray also, I lift up to you our pastoral staff who's in LA right now. I pray, Lord God, Father, as they're going through this Catalyst Conference, that you are imparting upon them, Lord God, Father, visions. You're imparting upon them visions and more of your wisdom, Lord God, Father, that you are truly growing them as leaders, Lord God, that, you know, no matter, you know where they are at, Lord God, Father, that you just speak to them and that you give them the authority, Lord, that you equip them with the words, Lord God, Father, to be able to impact nations and to really be a life changer to the people here. We pray, Lord God, Father, for, you know, everybody here as well. I pray, Holy Spirit, just give them the strength, you know, as they go about their day, as they go to teach, as they go to work, as they go, you know, to rest or whatnot. I pray, Holy Spirit, just really bless them. I pray, just really strengthen them. Let them not be discouraged or attacked by the enemy, but help them to really just truly, you know, have a great day today. So I pray, Holy Spirit, we bind all these things in your name. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.